shall see. And I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, a glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sin.
I'd like to invite you tonight over to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, and verse 10. Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 10. Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 10 reads this way. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this evening, thanking you again for the privilege of gathering together as your people. And then, Lord, being reminded that where two or three are gathered in your name, there are you in the midst. And so we thank you for your presence this evening. And we do ask for the blessing and the filling of your Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds, Lord, that we might hear from you and that you would be highly exalted and lifted up and that we would see souls saved, Lord, and your name honored and glorified through our lives and that we might experience your great grace, Lord, and your great faithfulness in a greater way. So bless again, Lord, your word and your people, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is Be Strong in the Lord. And we want to consider this evening what God says is to be strong in the Lord. What exactly does that mean in the life of the believer? We've heard this passage of Scripture before, and I pray and hope that the Lord will introduce some new thoughts as we consider and take an examination, a little closer examination or another examination of this portion of Scripture and be drawn closer to the Lord in understanding what it means to be strong in the Lord. Because if there was ever a time that the believers in the Lord Jesus Christ needed to be strong in the Lord, I think it's today. I don't know what Sodom and Gomorrah. So what's Sodom and Gomorrah? Sodom and Gomorrah. I don't know what that was like, but I tell you what, if we haven't surpassed it, we're surely on the heels of it. And so God wants us to be strong and be aware of some things that are taking place in our generation. The Bible, the Word of God, was given to us for every generation. And those generations, if there are any generations to follow, that they'll be there. But one day, sometime soon, the Lord's on the horizon and he's going to be returning again. And that what a day that will be. And we thank the Lord for that. But we want to occupy until the Lord comes. And we want to know how to occupy and be faithful until the very end. Whenever that time is, we'll leave that with the Lord. But anyway, tonight we want to consider some important truths. And there's four of them that we'll look at briefly tonight. And that is, first of all, two important considerations. We'll look at that this evening. And then the believer's enemies and the whole armor of God and the believer's supplies. Now, the Lord tells us to love our enemies, but there are some enemies that we'll see that we cannot love and we should not love. And we need to be careful about because all they're trying to do is to dishonor the Lord. Now, that doesn't involve
human beings, but it does involve spiritual powers and principalities and the prince and the power of the air, which is, of course, Satan. And God never wants us to love him because he's told us he's the deceiver, amen, and the accuser of the brethren. So two important considerations that we're going to look at here, and that is the power of his might and the armor of God. So look at verse 10 again. Finally, my brethren, as he comes to the end, to this conclusion here about how to be followers of God. We looked at that this morning. He says, in the process of being followers of God, realize that we need the power of God's might and not our own. And this is the mistake that I'm convinced every believer makes as they serve the Lord. How do I know that? Well, Sarah and Abraham wanted to help out the Lord, didn't they? And what did they produce? Not Isaac, it was Ishmael, and it's been a thorn in the flesh ever since to the people of God, to the people of Israel. And by the way, Peter thought he would do some good things. And as you consider all the different times that different people said, you know, I will fix this. I'll make this better in my strength. It never works out that way. And so God says, be careful, brethren. So he's speaking to believers to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So this is the strength of God in the life of the believer. And how does that come? Well, the truth is we already have it. The truth is it's already been given. The problem is that we rely upon ourselves and what we can do instead of what God can do. And we'll focus in on that tonight. Then the second thought is not just the power of his might, but then the armor of God. I'm sure you've heard many messages preached on this, but I think tonight we'll look at it from a little bit of a different angle. And notice what he says here in verse 11. Put on most of the armor of God. No, put on the whole armor of God because you need it. Amen? We need it. And why is that? That you may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes or the plans that the devil has. The devil has plans. And so let me ask you a question. If you were going into battle, and let's just go back in the days of the knights and that kind of armament, and you were going to fight a real enemy that was firing real arrows and what spears and all that, which armor would you decide to not take with you? Wouldn't you take it all? Wouldn't you say, hey, listen, I'm not taking any chances. I would even take the shodding of my feet. I wouldn't want a big old spear to land right on my foot and go through, and because that would probably stop me right there, wouldn't it? If I couldn't walk, or it would surely hinder me, to say the least. And so it's important that we realize that we take the whole armor, not just the part, but all of it, to be able to stand against the devil. All right, so that's the two important considerations, the power of his might and the armor of God. And let's just look at it this way. That's the focal point, and we're going to zero in on it a little bit better here in just a moment. Then the believer's enemies in verse 12, and this is who they are. Look, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And there is a wrestling match that's going on. If we're not wrestling, we're on the wrong side. Because the enemies of God look to fight the people of God. The enemies of God look to fight the people of God. And so if the devil's not resisting us, check out and see what side you're on. You might be running on the wrong side. And God doesn't want us to do that. But if we stand for the Lord, the devil will stand against us. Listen, if we stand for God, the devil will be against us. Let's not kid ourselves. It's a real spiritual battle. But here's the truth. Ready? We're on the winning side. Because the battle is the Lord's. Amen? Not ours. The battle is the Lord. So this is our enemy. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. They may hold positions of esteem in high places. They may have even authority over us. During the time of the Apostle Paul, Nero was the emperor. He was not a good man. I mean, he used Christians to light up his gardens. And so he was a very cruel individual. But we need to know how to stand against them according to the will of God and not in our strength. So here are the believer's enemies. And then thirdly, and this is going to be the main part right here, the whole armor of God. Look what verse 13 says. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, not the part. So let me ask you this question. Is it God's will that we just take most of the parts, or is it God's will that we have all the parts? So so if it's God's will that we have all the parts, that it's important that we consider each and every part, not just say, okay, we need the whole armor of God. But what are they? And we'll look at that here as we go through this. So he says, verse 13, wherefore take ye the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. So make sure, listen, everything that we need to do to stand is in the Lord. And all we need to do is have the whole armor of God. And this is going to make more sense here in just a moment. And so not the part of it, but all of it. And so it's important to the believer that we understand each and every part that God is saying. And then he says this. He says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. Not that it won't happen. It will happen. God says, I'll see to it. If you make sure you're wearing the armor of God, he will see to it that we stand. Amen. And we'll understand that here again as we move on. Verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Now, we could just fly right over that, but what does that mean? Our loins girt about with truth. Well, our loins is what carries us from place to place. Everywhere we go, that's our legs, right? And so we want to be girt about, and that's what really our core individual is, with truth. So guess what happens? If we are dishonest, are our loins girt with truth? No. If we tell a lie, we're not wearing the armor of God. That's how you can tell. And listen, if we're not being honest and upfront in everything, then our fear towards God is not right. And so what should we do? Should we just continue on our merry way, or shall we stop and say, Lord, I need you to help me, to arm me with your truth. I don't want to compromise your truth. And so if that's the problem, then that's where we need to focus on and say, Lord, I need to be truthful with you and with everybody, because you said you would bless me and enable me to stand. And I don't want to be dishonest, and I don't want to be deceiving. Sometimes we can keep quiet and be deceptive. Sometimes we can be quiet and not allow things to be discovered when they should be. And people believe things because we don't say anything that are not true. And so we need to stand for the what? For the truth, God's truth. And if we're standing in that, then guess what we're wearing? We're wearing the girdle, or we're girded with the truth of God. Our loins are girded with the truth of God everywhere we go. See, that doesn't just mean when I'm at church, I tell the truth. That means wherever I'm at, I tell the truth. And I don't try to skirt the truth, but I wear the truth by the grace of God. And it's God. Listen, here's how it works. Lord, you said you would bless me if I would hold to the truth. You said you would give me victory. So, Lord, I need you to enable me to walk in your truth. And you know what? God says, whatsoever you ask, and is that a good thing that you're asking God for? Absolutely. So if you ask God to walk in the truth, believe, here's the faith part, believe that he's going to give it to you. Would he withhold that from us? No, he wants us to walk in that. So you know what I can have with confidence? God will enable me to walk in the truth. And to speak the truth in everything and all of my dealings, I can be truthful because God will enable me. There's only one person that can overthrow the will of God in our lives. You know who that person is? We look at him in the mirror. That's the only person that can overthrow the will of God in our lives. If we will say, Lord, I'm going to walk upright. This is what you commanded me to do. I'm asking you to enable me to do that. So I'm dependent upon you, and watch what God will do. Now, here's what will happen. Here's what you'll begin to notice happening. As you're walking through the day, the Holy Spirit will say, remember the truth. Remember, you ask God to walk in the truth. This is part of it. See, we won't tell a bold-faced lie, but we may allow some things to go slide by without standing up for the truth. We don't want to do that. And so God will enable us. And by the way, sometimes it's uncomfortable to tell the truth, isn't it? Sometimes it's awkward to tell the truth. But you know what? Bless God. He said he'll enable me to do it. Everything will turn out right. I'm going to stand on the truth. Amen. I'm going to speak the truth. And so that's how we know that we are girt about with truth. So again, verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Well, what does that mean? The breastplate of righteousness? Well, that's the righteousness of God. In other words, here's where it begins. Should I watch the same programs that the world watches that God says is an abomination and it's sinful? Should I watch things that have foul language and all kinds of debauchery and things that God says are wrong? See, this is, and that's just one area. I mean, should I listen to things that people say? Should I listen to jokes that are off color? Should I do what the world is doing? Or am I standing for the righteousness of God? And so what I would do, and what the Lord would have us to do, is to walk away from that and stand in opposition to that with gentleness and kindness and long, right? In our own personal life, these are the things that hinder. When we allow a little bit of sin in, it spoils us. Listen, when we allow it, Lord, give me a hunger after you and your righteousness and not the things that are passing away. The world is passing away. Do you know, the devil's smart. And when I say the devil's smart, he's not smarter than God. In fact, the Bible says one day we're going to look at the devil and say, is this the man that deceived the nations? We fell for him? He's bigger than we are. He's not anywhere close to God. Amen. Nowhere near God. He's fooling himself to think that he could sit on the throne of God as God. I don't know how that happens, but he can't do that. And so likewise also, may we be bold and upfront and not be deceived by this really, he's bigger than us, but he can't overpower God who lives inside of us. And so the world puts on, people get so hooked. I remember growing up in the 70s, and I'm not going to say which kind of people, but some of my friends were watching General Hospital. I'm like, soap operas. But it hooked them. It hooked them. They needed to find out the next thing that was going to happen. What's this person going to do the next time? May I tell you something? It's all fake. That never happened. It's untrue. Amen? Now, I'm not saying that, but we would do better to deal with the truth than fiction. I'm not saying fiction is wrong, but I'm just saying the devil can use that to mislead us. And that now they make these series out there that are like never ending. Give me a break. You know, I can't stand watching something that leaves you. They say, oh, well, that's a cliffhanger. Well, I'm not jumping. Amen. I'm not jumping. I won't be here at the next, tune in here at this Bat Channel at the next Bat Time. You remember that, Batman and Robin? Forget about it. Amen. I want to walk in the truth of God that has something more important for me than something that's not even true, that's fictional. In case you wondered, right? All those Batman and Robins, that's all fake, right? But for sure, even the General Hospital and all that stuff, and I don't know, I'm sure they've got more things going on today, but I will tell you, a lot of that, for mere entertainment, is a great waste of time. It's a great waste of time. I'm not trying to be insulting, but here's the way to look at it. How will that benefit me for eternity? How is that helping me for eternity? Wouldn't time in prayer, wouldn't time spent seeking the Lord and experience, have you ever, I'm sure you have, when you opened up the Word of God and you can sense the Spirit of God revealing things to you and you're being awed and you're seeing things that like you haven't seen before, to me that's more exciting. To me that has a greater thrill than the things that are temporal and in the minds of a lot of people that are perverted. Did you know that? I mean, most of Hollywood is a mess. No, most of Hollywood is a wreck. Amen? They don't have the life at all. I mean, my goodness, scandals and scandals and scandals of all this craziness and you know, people want to be like them, filled up with all the filth. And so the helmet of salvation, listen, that helmet as the Lord, as that shield of faith protects us and carries us into a deeper walk, that helmet of salvation will become more brilliant and more bright, that the world will see it. The world will say, there's something different about you. I mean, my goodness, listen, they may not understand the whole armor of God, but when you're walking in the truth, you know, people like the truth. They really do. Not everybody tells the truth, but people like the truth. I'm going to tell you a secret that you probably already know. Thieves and liars like the truth. You know why I know that? Because they don't like to be lied to. Does a liar like to be lied to? You know why? Because they don't even know it. They, even though they tell lies, they really do. They would rather the truth. Amen? The problem is they are dead, and so they don't understand that in order to... Listen, have you ever noticed that bad company or bad habits really draw bad company? Bad ways, the wrong ways, the ungodly ways, draw you to ungodly people. And when we walk upright, the lost world will have none of that if they see you standing for the truth. I think it was in California. I'm not too sure where it was. It was in some city, and it was like these storefronts. It was in a nice area. And this gang moved in. This gang moved into this area. It was a nice area of all these shop owners. And next thing you know, there was graffiti on the walls. Next thing you know, there was crime. Cars were being robbed. People were being robbed. And one of the store owners called a meeting with all the other store owners and said, I've got an idea that will put an end to this, but it's going to cost us a little something. And here's what they said they were going to do. They were going to clean up the area. They were going to repaint the graffiti. They were going to make everything look nice. And they were going to pipe in classical music. Do you know, just like that, that group felt uncomfortable. That group didn't fit in. But listen, if you make it look like a slum, you're going to bring in that kind of people that are like that. If we walk that way, that's the kind of people that we're going to draw. But if we live after the Lord Jesus Christ, we will shine His light. And by the way, people like the light. They just don't know it yet. And people like the truth, and they'll want to walk in that. They don't maybe know that there's a better way to live life, because without the Lord, we don't know which way we're going. We think we do, but in the Lord, we can walk in the light as He is in the light. And then here's the believer's supply. Here's the last thought. Verse 18, praying once in a while. It's important. I mean, these are the things that we have to look into our own lives and say, praying always. That means we're in the spirit of prayer. We're in communion with the Lord. We should have an altar with God somewhere in our home, personally. But we should be in prayer when we're driving. We should be in prayer in our thought life. Do you know if we're in prayer and thinking about the Lord and asking Him for His direction, do you know what's going to happen? We're going to get the Lord's direction. Because God sees it's important to us that we would, listen, can I tell on myself? I like to know what's going on. I do. But I will tell you, I would rather listen to a spiritual book, or I would rather have nothing on, I do better, and talk to the Lord in my car. Because I've discovered something. These news stations aren't telling me anything I don't already know, and all they're doing is just the same old story, the same old. And here's the truth, ready? Those radio programs, they are not going to change the world. But do you know something? The believer holds something that will change the world, one soul at a time.
Amen.
And if we will give ourselves over to the Lord, He will give Himself to us.
Amen.
To the believer. If we will seek the Lord, what does the Bible say? We'll find Him.
Amen.
We'll find Him. But if we get preoccupied and distracted, listen, I'm a human being. I don't want you to think that I'm some kind of super Christian. I'm not. The only thing I want to do is be dependent upon my God who's given me promises that He will fulfill. That's it. That's all I want to do. I just want to trust the Lord to perform what He's already promised. Amen? We don't need anything new. If we'll just seek God to perform what He's promised, this church and our nation, by the way, this church and our community will be better off for you and I seeking the Lord. Listen, if God used 12 men to turn the world upside down to begin, I think we've got at least 12 people here. I really do think so. And I really do think He loves you and I enough to bless us. How about that? Look at verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching there. And by the way, if any of this doesn't make any sense to you, Ask God. He wants to let you know. Listen, he can explain to you what I can never explain to you. Did you know that?
Amen.
He wants to explain to us, you and I, what mankind cannot tell us. Mankind did not tell me anything about the Spirit of God. Do you know who told me about the Spirit of God? The same person that's telling you about the Spirit of God, and that's the Lord.
Amen.
He wants to tell you about that.
Amen.
And so if you don't have an understanding, don't look some Christian person on a podcast and this, that. Look to the Lord.
Amen.
He doesn't say look to this person and what this person's saying. And I'm not saying those things are wrong. All right, I'm not saying you can't learn from those things, but the best resource the believer has is God.
Amen.
The best resource we can have is the Lord. So praying always with all prayer and supplication, verse 18, in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And we need the Lord for that as well. And for me, that utterance may be given. Listen, he's saying pray. He's saying pray always. And he's saying, and for me, I want to give you my list. I want you to pray for me. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly. Do you know who we're talking about? The Apostle Paul. I thought he didn't need help. I thought he was super Christian. No, he's just a man. Just like we are. You know what Paul needed? Is the same thing that we need. We need to call upon the Lord to perform that which he's already promised. That's what Paul was asking for. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me. He didn't have that utterance, and he was an intellectual. He was a smart man. But he said, I need the Lord to give me the utterance. You know what Paul figured out? I'm sure Paul knew when God was on him and when God wasn't on him. How about this? Let me ask you this question. Have you ever sensed a moment that God was in the middle of and you knew the Lord was in the middle of it? And then there were other times that God wasn't in the middle of it? And you can see the difference. Verse 20, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, but that ye also may know my affairs and how I do. Tychicus, a beloved brother and a faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known unto you all things whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be unto the brethren and love with faith from who? From God, the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. You know what God wants us to do? Listen, God wants you and I to love him, listen, in sincerity.
Amen.
In sincerity. Do you know what the word, and I'm going to close here. Do you know what sincerity means in the Greek? Without wax. Have you heard that before? Sincerity means without wax. So in the Corinthian area, and in that part where the gospel was being preached, and this made sense to them, they would make these porcelain vases and pitchers and different things like that. And they would travel from all over the world, you know, all over the area anyway, and they would come and make these purchases, but the vendors could leave. But you know what the vendor could do? In the process of making their vessel or their vase or their pitcher, it could crack. And what they would do is they would put wax in there. And you know what it would do? When you filled it up with water, guess it would hold water. But when you took that thing home and you paid full price for it, and after the heat got to it a little bit, guess what would happen? You got a leak. See, that was what we call that was a cover-up. Amen? They covered it up. They covered up. God wants us to live before him, not covering up. Amen? He wants us to call him into our lives, and that he might have every area of our hearts, every area of our lives exposed and open before him, that he might have his will and way in every area. Lord, I'm not going to make an excuse for any area in my life. It's all yours to do with as you will. Do you think that would honor God? And if we honor God, do you think he'll bless us? I dare say without a doubt. How about you? Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your great grace and your mercy towards us and your patience and your long-suffering and your kindness. Lord, we can be, so thoughtless, Lord, sometimes and so distracted and preoccupied when the best thing we have is our relationship with you. Lord, may you bring that to the forefront of our thinking, and may we understand in a refreshing way, in a new way, Lord, how exciting our relationship with you can be as long as we seek you in these things and by faith call upon you to perform what you've already promised, Lord. May we ask you to do these things that would honor and glorify you and bring your power into our lives that we might stand in your might. Bless again, Lord, your word and your people, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.